Washington Mutual Incorporated collapsed this morning, buckling under the weight of its bad investments in mortgage markets, making it the largest bank failure in U.S. history. If J.P. Chase Morgan had not bought up the bank, the Federal Deposit Insurance Company, or FDIC, according to some analysts, could have used up half its money to cover account holders. As the U.S. economy flounders with crisis after crisis, the Bush administration has been working with Congress to pass a massive $700 billion bailout of Wall Street that sparked nationwide protests yesterday. In a meeting at the White House yesterday, House Republicans proposed an alternative plan at the last minute, stalling the talks. If Bush's plan or some version of it passes this weekend, it will be the largest in U.S. history. President Bush, in a speech on Wednesday night, addressed the nation in a grave tone.
I know many Americans have questions tonight. How did we reach this point in our economy? How will the solution I propose work? And what does this mean for your financial future? These are good questions. And they deserve clear answers.
Well, joining us today to answer the questions of why the economy crashed and whether the bailout plan is the right answer is Charlie Cray. He is the director of the Center for Corporate Policy. And part of the problem with the economy that's becoming apparent even to lawmakers are the ridiculously high salaries of CEOs. Sarah Anderson joins us to discuss the incentive structure for top corporate executives. She's the director of the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies and has co-authored the book Field Guide to the Global Economy. Welcome to Uprising, Charlie and Sarah.
Great to be here.
Thanks very much for joining us today. Charlie, I'd like to start with you. First, let's talk a little bit about, give me your one-minute description, if you will, on why you see this crash as having happened and how it's related to deregulation of the economy.
Well, the deregulation process goes back 30 years, and basically through a series of measures passed by both parties, we've seen barriers to the kind of unregulated, securitized trading, including highly complex financial instruments like derivatives, explode. And so that before, when you had banks giving loans in the form of mortgages to homeowners and keeping them, they had an incentive to do their due diligence. Once they were freed from holding those loans, to dice them up and convert them into securities and then spread them around the markets, the ultimate holders didn't even know what they were holding, essentially. And so, you know, this allowed an explosion in, you know, in low-interest loans and so forth. So that's one of the underlying causes here.
Now, Charlie, in the speech that Bush gave on Wednesday, he spent almost half of it trying to explain what has led to this crisis. Now, you know, it's too long an excerpt of his speech to play, but I'm wondering if you saw that speech and if you agree with his assessment.
No, I didn't see that speech, but the Bush administration, as far as I'm concerned and from what it said in the past, hasn't really gotten to the underlying causes. They've been reeling and careening from crisis to crisis without addressing the fundamental causes.
Sarah Anderson, let's talk about CEO pay. While unemployment rates have gone up and up and up and hit new record highs over as part of this crisis here in the United States, a lot of CEOs, even those of failing institutions, have walked away, even if they have been fired, have walked away with ridiculous amounts of money and salaries and stock options, et cetera. First, give us some of the stats that will probably make many of us grind our teeth.
Well, the finance sector has always been at the top of the pay scale among our already overly paid executives in this country. Last year, CEOs in that sector, in the banking sector, made on average $11.3 million. And some of the guys who really got in trouble, like Richard Fuld at Lehman Brothers, which, as you know, has really gone down the tubes, he made several hundred million dollars in the last 5 years as he was really leading that company into bankruptcy. And so it's been a system that has really rewarded executives for short-term thinking to chase these short-term windfalls in the mortgage market, and all the while, defrauding, misleading people, and now as we see, really bringing our economy to the brink.
So you have co-authored a report about CEO pay, and certainly Washington has in past years tried to limit it, but how have Wall Street executives managed to still keep their high salaries?
Well, there have been efforts, like back in the Clinton administration, they put a $1 million cap on the amount of that companies could deduct from their taxes for the expense of executive compensation. And CEOs went right around that restriction because it had a loophole, which is that it didn't apply to compensation that was performance-based. So they just came up with really vague criteria for deciding what's performance-based and not, and continued to make just higher and higher levels of pay. And so that's why we're really hoping that finally, they will use the leverage of this massive bailout to put some real restrictions on executive pay, at least in these bailed out companies, but maybe setting a precedent that could be used to apply to companies across the board.
Well, Charlie, let's answer that question. What is on the table right now? First, what has the Bush administration, which of course is what Treasury Secretary Paulson wants, what specifically is the Bush administration asking for Wall Street to do in return for $700 billion?
Well, one of the things that's on the table is that not only would companies go through some kinds of changes like the pay caps that Sarah referred to, but also that that there's some pushing that there would be an independent inspector general. That's in the draft agreement. Regular audits by the Government Accountability Office. Some are also they want, and I think this is a good proposal, that that the government receive an equity stake in all participating companies, so that if they return to financial health, there's some payback to the taxpayers. And I think that's something that people on the right and the left would agree to.
And has the government done that in the earlier bailouts this year when it has actually saved individual institutions? Has the government had a decent equity stake?
It's a mixed bag. I think they took some stake in some of the bailouts, I think in particular AIG, but I'm not familiar with the details. Mm-hmm. In the past, it's happened with companies like Chrysler.
Part of the problem is that the details of the bailout plan are not really known. So, Sarah, is there any, as far as you know, limitation on CEO pay that is being pushed for at all?
Yeah, well, I can't claim to know the very latest. Very few people know the latest. I'm getting call after call from reporters because no one's answering their calls down on Capitol Hill right now. But what we do know is what's in the draft proposals that came out earlier this week, and there are big problems in there. The biggest problem is that they would actually give Treasury Secretary Paulson the power to decide whether an executive's pay is excessive or not. I mean, this is a guy who's made hundreds of millions of dollars on Wall Street. This is not the job for him to be deciding what's excessive or not.
I mean, why can't they just have one flat standard, one rule of thumb? If it's above a certain limit, it's too much.
Absolutely.
And it can't be different for different people very
there
well.
There are some people on the Hill calling for that. In fact, Senator McCain has the most radical proposal. He says, let's set a cap of $400,000. Henry Waxman is looking much more moderate than McCain. He's calling for a straight $2 million cap.
Well, I'd love to make $400,000, and I don't think it would impoverish these CEOs to make that little money. My guests are Sarah Anderson, Director of the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies and the co-author of the book Field Guide to the Global Economy, Charlie Craze, Director of the Center for Corporate Policy. Well, part of what Bush said in his speech on Wednesday was really interesting to hear him and how many other lawmakers are, in a way, jumping around or dancing around the issue of regulation. Certainly the market acting on its own independence is always the sort of Bible for free market capitalists. But when it fails, the government is certainly ready to do what it's doing right now. I want to play another excerpt from the speech that Bush gave on Wednesday to hear how he is justifying this bailout.
With the situation becoming more precarious by the day, I faced a choice: to step in with dramatic government action, or to stand back and allow the irresponsible actions of some to undermine the financial security of all. I'm a strong believer in free enterprise. So my natural instinct is to oppose government intervention. I believe companies that make bad decisions should be allowed to go out of business. Under normal circumstances, I would have followed this course. But these are not normal circumstances. The market is not functioning properly.
The market is not functioning properly. Charlie Cray, what does that mean?
Well, it means that these big companies whose leaders have espoused free market doctrine for decades are now coming hat in hand to the taxpayer and asking them to forgive their debts. You know, one of the things that Bush said in their excerpt was that he believes in the free market. You know, the House Republicans, who are more in line with his position than I think the majority of members who are now trying to cobble the mainstream deal with Paulson, have said that they want to cut the capital gains tax and dividends tax. Now, I think Bush would probably like that too. What we think should happen instead is, you know, as Bush said, those who cause the problem should pay. And just like people who drive more should pay for highways by paying for through the gas tax at the pump, I think that there should be a higher tax on the actual transactions of securities like derivatives and so forth. You know, it's much like what we talk about in currency transactions as a Tobin tax. We need this on the regulated exchanges. We also need higher margin requirements so that they can't get so highly leveraged by borrowing money to gamble on the markets. And we also need to separate some of the commercial banking functions, particularly when it relates to communities such as mortgages and small business loans, from the investment banking community. And to have these banks all merging at a time of crisis, I think, doesn't address some of these problems.
And just on the issue of cutting these taxes, I mean, just to put it in perspective, we're talking about people involved, at least at the top, who've made these huge salaries, who, because of their bad decisions, now are getting taxpayer money to bail out their institutions. And on top of that, they want to infuse more money into that sector by cutting taxes. And over again, it seems as though the government is taking every advantage of this crisis by rewarding people at the top, but not on the bottom. Sarah, what is your assessment of how, for example, I mean, let's look at the minimum wage versus CEO pay. This constant talk about trickle-down economics, no matter how much evidence is there, it seems as though it's clearly not working, but these folks are not giving it up.
It's just outrageous, isn't it? I mean, the idea that I've been attacked in recent days for being just out for revenge or just wanting to punish these guys and make
them nothing wrong with that.
Out to be the villain. Well, it's a combination of that, plus also pointing out the incentive structure we have helped get us into this mess. And if we don't change that incentive structure, we're still going to have top executives just blinded by the lure of these huge short-term rewards to the detriment of the rest of us. And we need to learn a lesson from this and change the system. And this idea that this is just a sideshow matter, which has come up on by several prominent columnists now, accusing people who are raising the CEO pay issue of trying to distract people from the real problems, or that this is just a sideshow thing, that is just ridiculous. This is a core issue. It's what drove these guys to make these ridiculous, reckless decisions at the heads of these companies, and the rest of us are suffering now. It's just outrageous.
I want to play another excerpt from what Bush said on Wednesday night in his speech to the nation. Here he tries to make the case to the American people, who I think he suspects are quite angry.
I know that an economic rescue package will present a tough vote for many members of Congress. It is difficult to pass a bill that commits so much of the taxpayers' hard-earned money. I also understand the frustration of responsible Americans who pay their mortgages on time, file their tax returns every April 15th, and are reluctant to pay the cost of excesses on Wall Street. But given the situation we are facing, not passing a bill now would cost these Americans much more later.
That's what Bush said on Wednesday night. It a little bit reminds me of what happened after 9/11 with the passing of the Patriot Act. You know, basically, if we don't pass this now, we're gonna pay later. And let's just really put something together very quickly and get it through in the interest of the American people. Well, Sarah first, and then Charlie. Would the if nothing was done, if these institutions were allowed to fail, would it affect American people pretty seriously in the short term and the long term, Sarah?
Yeah, in my conversations with people, economists, good, solid, progressive economists, I've been convinced that this is a really dire situation. I'm curious to know what you think, Charlie, but I do think that people's lives are on the line here. People's opportunities to go to college, to get college loans, small businesses to get access to credit, that this could really have sweeping effects throughout our economy and really hurt people at the bottom. This isn't just about bailing out the rich on Wall Street. This is a serious situation. We do need to take it seriously. They need to word this legislation carefully, but I don't think we can just dismiss the need for something to happen in the near future.
But all of this is based on the assumption that the current structure is one that we should have. Certainly patching it up in the short term may be necessary, but what about long-term change? Charlie, what do you think needs to happen in terms of re-regulating the financial institutions and Wall Street in general?
Well, that's a good question, and I think there needs to be an agreement as part of this short-term emergency package to get back to that. I mean, this is not going to be, you know, Senator Shelby, the leading Republican on the Senate Banking Committee, has said that he doesn't even think the proposal Paulson put on the table will even work. And it's true, we need to pay attention to credit and liquidity in the markets, but look, I mean, you know, if that was the case, if people were concerned about homeowners and people getting small loans, then they would put a provision that would help, that the government should buy individual mortgages and help ordinary Americans with the benefits trickling up to the banks rather than putting huge infusions of capital into the banks and then hoping that it will trickle down to the estimated 1.5 million people who are facing foreclosure.
So a trickle-up economics is something that is desperately needed in the long run, you would say.
Absolutely. And I think that we need to look at the structural separation of commercial and community banking from investment banking, which was the fundamental principle that led to the Glass-Steagall Act that was dismantled at the end of the of the Clinton administration with the leadership of Phil Grant and Robert Rubin pushing it through.
Hmm. Well, Charlie Cray, Sarah Anderson, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks.
Charlie Cray is director of the Center for Corporate Policy. Sarah Anderson is director of the Global Economy Project at the Institute for Policy Studies. She's also the co-author of the book Field Guide to the Global Economy. We'll link to recent articles by both my guests on our website later today, which you can find if you go to kpfk.org, click on Programs in the left column, and follow the links.